Today's daf is Psachim Daf Lamed Dalid, and we are 7 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis Gufa. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza, Avadi Ben Miriam Leah, Manuela Bas Chana, David Ben Chava, and Asher Zelig Ben Rachel Leah. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas, Hendel Bas, Harav Agoin Rav Shimshon, Baruch ben Yaakov, Eliezer Yosef ben Mendel, and Avram ben Yibadol Chaim Tovim, Ramosha Chaim. Additionally, on behalf of the entire Chabura, I'd like to wish a very special happy birthday to Morty Weiss. So the topic of the daf the last 2 days was the halachos of Truma, specifically Truma Tahira, Truma Temeya, and of course, as it correlates to the halachis of Chomet. Zok de Gemara, Gufa, Mandlikin, Bepas, Ubeshemen, Shel Truma Shenet Mas. A person is allowed to light a fire using bread or oil that was Truma that has since become Tameh. So Truma that's Tameh is Asa Ba'achilo. However, it's Mutah Ba'hanah. So the halach is, it's a braisa, you're allowed to take bread and oil that's Truma Tameya, and you're allowed to make a fire with it, even though you're going to benefit from it, but that's okay, because Truma Tameya is Mutah Ba'hanah. Abaya Amar Mishmei D'Chizki, Abaya is in the name of Chizki, V'Rava Amar Devei Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Marto, Rav Huna, in the name of the yeshiva of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Marto, who had this Messiah in the name of Rav Huna, Loishanu, this is only true, Elopas. If somebody would have pas, that's truma, that became tamei, you'd be allowed to make a fire with it, and there'd be no issues. Avochiti, however, if you would have strands of wheat, that's truma, that became tamei, loy. Then the halach is, you wouldn't be able to use it as fuel for a fire. Why not? If you're allowed to have anah from truma tamei, so why should it be a problem? So the Amli Ram said, it's for a davert study, it's for an external reason. Shema yavoi behenli de takala. Because there's a concern that while you're using it as fuel, you may take a bite out of it, you may come to eat it, and as a result, you're be over the iser of eating truma tmeya. Because again, even a kohen who's allowed to eat truma is not allowed to eat truma tmeya. He's allowed to use it for fuel, but to eat it, he cannot. So to the extent that there's a concern that this that you're using as fuel, you may come to eat, the halacha is you would not be allowed to use it even for fuel. So why are you allowed to use pas? Why is it only chitim that you're not allowed to use? So the truth is, it was the last gemara that we saw in yesterday's daf. The gemara said that once you throw the bread, bein ha'e, between the wood, at that point it becomes disgusting. There's no concern anymore that you're going to eat it. Chitim, however, raw wheat, that's something that wouldn't become disgusting. And therefore the halacha is, Abaye said in the name of Chizkiya, Rava said in the name of the yeshiva of Yitzchak Bar Marta, in the name of Rav Huna, but at the end of the day it's Abaye v'Rava, the Amri Travayu, everybody agrees that this halacha, that you're allowed to use Truma Tmei as fuel, is only if it's pas, if there's something that there's no concern that you may come to eat it. But if you have raw chitim, something that you may eat, so don't get involved with it, because you may end up eating. Rabbi Yechon argued with all the aforementioned Amiram, and he said, "Afilu chiti, even chitim is something that you're allowed to use." Why aren't you concerned? Now, while you're using the chitim of truma tmeya as fuel for your fire, you may come to eat it. So the Gemara says, "Kedam Rav Asher, you have to make an akimta in Rabbi Yechon and Zalacha similar to an aikimta that Rav Ashi once made in a different context. What was the Rav Ashi's aikimta? B'shlikasa u'b'mi'isasa. You have to say it's talking about where the chitim weren't raw, but rather they were cooked. And because they were cooked, once you put it bein ha'etzim, once you put it down where the fire is, even if it didn't burn yet, at that point it's already going to be disgusting. As a result, there's no concern that you may come to eat it. But enachinami, if there's a concern, shema yavoi behemli de takola, even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that you're not allowed to use it. Rabbi Yochanan is not disagreeing fundamentally with Abaye and Rava. Rabbi Yochanan just said that in the event that you have chitim, bishli kaso umi'isasa, and you cooked it already, at that point, once you put it in the etzim, you're not going to come to eat it. If you're not going to come to eat it, just like you can use bread and oil of truma tmeya as fuel, because there's no chashash that as you're using it for fuel, you may come to eat it. There's no chashash either with regards to this chitin, and you'd be able to use it as well. So, the Gemara. So we just told Sue something that Rav Ashi said to explain Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara said, Kidda Amar Rav Ashi. What does that mean when the Gemara says, Kidda Amar Rav Ashi? If the Gemara would have said, Amar Rav Ashi, that would imply that Rav Ashi is coming to answer this question, right? Talmud Bavli 101. If you have a kasha on Rav Ashi, oh, Rav Ashi was addressing this question. He had an answer to the question that the Gemara asked. Kido Amar Rav Ashi means the kuf, we're stelling to something that Rav Ashi said somewhere else. So the Gemara says, okay, you mentioned something that Rav Ashi said, we're using it as a tushtel to explain Rav Yochanan Shita and our sugyo is Vehecha Itma de Rav Ashi. What's that other place that Rav Ashi said this? Ahodo Amar Rav Abin Barav Acho Amar Rav Yitzchak Abishol Gabul Shabes Rebbe Hoya. Abishol used to work in Rebbe's house. He was the kneader in Rebbe's house. Rav Yudan Nosik. And they used to heat up water for him using chitin shel truma tmeya lolush pahen isa b'tahira. So this is a little bit confusing. But Rebbe, as you would expect, he was nizer. He was very careful. He ate his chulam b'tahira. Meaning, even though you don't have to eat chulam b'tahira, but we know there were a lot of chasheva people known as chaverim. They would eat chulam b'tahira. And Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was one of those. He ate his chulam b'tahira. By the way, even though Rabbi Yehuda Anasi lived after the Churban, but you see, they were still careful with inyanim of tumah b'tahira, as we've spoken about in the sugya of Rav Chanina Skana Kayanim, Ayin Shom. But the point is that Rebbe's house, they used to eat chulam b'tahira. And Abishol, who worked in the kitchen, he was the gabel shabbos Rebbe, so when they used to give him water to use for kneading the dough, so the water that they gave him was heated with truma tmeya. Now, that's a little bit of a chiddush, that they would use truma tmeya for dough that we're being super careful about to only eat b'tahira, but that's what they did. But the Gemara's kash is, amai, why was this okay? They're using chitin shel truma tmeya. Why aren't you worried that while you're using the chitin shel truma tmeya as fuel, you may come to eat it? Rav Ashi, it was with regarding that, explaining the minute that happened in Rav Yudan Nasi's house, the Rav Ashi made this like, kimti sebe shlikasu misas. It's talking about when the chitin were cooked already. As a result, once it was placed, bein ha'etzim, it was disgusting. At that point, there's no concern anymore that you may come to eat it. Either way, the first part of today's daf discussed the halacha. Truma tmeya is mutter bahana. You're allowed to burn it and have hana from it as it's being burnt. Stating that the only time Chazal allowed you to do this is if there's no concern that you may come to eat this truma tmeya. So if you're going to use truma tmeya as fuel, but it's something that there's a concern that you may come to eat, B'kahai gavne, Chazal didn't allow you to use it. Therefore, pass. There's no concern you're going to eat it. You can use it. Shemen, the Gemara made in Akimta in yesterday's daf. If you put it in a klimas, in a disgusting keli, there's no concern you're going to eat it. As a result, you're allowed to use it. What about chitim? If it was shlikasa or misasa, so it would seem to be a machlokes amayram. The bottom line is, Zok the Gemara vayt amrab, Abaye barabin, Rab Chananya barabin, Tonu trumis beirab. Abaye barabin and Rab Chananya barabin, they both learned mesechtes trumis in the yeshiva of Rab. So it's interesting because we spoke not long ago about the Gemara Masechtas Bava Metzia, where the Gemara says the Rabbi Baravua met Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu Hanavi, and Rabbi Baravua saw Eliyahu. He says, "Aren't you a Kohen? What are you doing in a Beis HaKfaris?" So he told him, "Didn't you learn Tyrus?" In Tyrus it says, "Atem Kriyam Adam, Ve'ein Ovdei Kechavim Kriyam Adam," and only an Adam is Metama Tumas Meis, as opposed to Ovdei Kechavim, at the very least Tumas Oil, he's not going to be Metama. So he told Rabbi Baravua, "Didn't you learn Masechtas Tyrus?" So he told him back, he says, Masechtas Tyrus, the four starim that we learn in yeshiva, I barely know. He says, you expect me to know all six starim? So which four starim was Rabbi Baravua referring to? He says, say the Noshim, say the Nezikin, say the Moed, and say the Kachim. Which two did they not learn? They didn't learn Zerayim, and they didn't learn Tyrus. We suggested maybe that's why there's no Talmud Bavli on Zerayim and Tyrus. Ayin Shom. But the point is, here you have a Mefurash Gemara with Abba Yeroyim. Both learned Masechtas Trumos in the yeshiva of Rabbah. Not Tamura, that they learn in Brisk. Masechtas Trumos they learn. So the Gemara says, Pogabu Rav Bar Masna. So Rav Bar Masna meets Abai Bar Avin and Rav Chananya Bar Avin. He says, tell me, you learned Masechtas Trumos by Rabbah? Amal Hu Mayam Ritu B'Trumos. He says, no, let me hear something. Tell me something over in the name of the great Rabbah that he said, Achidish Masechtas Trumos. The Beimar Amrulei. So they told him, my Kasha Lecha. You have a Kasha? He says, you want me to tell you a Shtikal Torah? Ask me a Kasha. It sounds like something's bothering you. Maybe about Masechtas Trumos. So rather than tell him a Chabura, he said, you ask a Kasha. And I'll tell you a teretz. So he said, here's my kash. It's Mishnah Masechtas Trumos. Shesilei Trumos Shenitmu. If you have a plant that's Truma that became Tomei. Vishaslan. If you take that plant and you now replant it, you put it into the ground. The halach is Tahoyim Militame. It's not tame anymore. Very big chiddush. So you have truma tmeya. Once you replant it in the ground, it is chayzer v'neir. It becomes new, and even though there was tumah previously, it's not considered tumah anymore. That's the first thing the Mishnah says. The second thing the Mishnah says is v'asurim milechol. The halach is you're not allowed to eat it. Now, Rava Bar Masna assumed that what does it mean v'asurim milechol? It means that a koyein is not allowed to eat it. Why would a koyein not allowed to be eat? A koyein's allowed to eat truma. The teretz is because it's truma tmeya. Because the truma was previously tameh. So yes, the makasha of chimiyacha de tahir milutameh. If you're telling me that once you plant it in the ground, it becomes tahir, and my asura milachol. So why is a koyin not allowed to eat it? So this was the question that Rava Bar Masna asked the two talmidim of Rabba that just finished learning Masechtas Trumas by Rabba. It's a good question. The Mishnah says that if you have truma that's tameh, you plant it in the ground, it becomes tahir. However, basura milachol sounds like the koyin's not allowed to eat it. Why not? Because he's never allowed to eat truma tameh. So he asked him a bamba kashut. It doesn't make sense. The Reisha and the Sefer of the Mishnah, the two halachas seem to contradict each other. Here you're telling me it's tahar, and then you're telling me that a kohen's not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara said, Amrulei, they told him, Hachi Amar Rabba. Okay, we learned this Mishnah. I heard shir from Rabba. This is what Rabba said. May asurin, asurin lazarin. Now the Mishnah doesn't mean that a kohen's not allowed to eat it. A kohen is allowed to eat it. What the Mishnah is saying is that a zar is not allowed to eat it. Umay kamash, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is, gidulei truma, truma. That even though you replanted it, so you would have had a havamina that maybe it's not truma anymore. It was truma, but now you're stuck it into the ground, and now something else grew. It's not the identical thing. So this new gidol, even though it came from truma, you would have thought maybe it's not truma. So that was the chiddush. That's what Rabbi said. That's what the Mishnah is coming to say. Vasru milecho. Not that a coin's not allowed to eat. A coin's allowed to eat it. It's not tame. Why can a coin eat it? The chiddush is that a zar is not allowed to eat it. You would have thought that maybe it is okay for a zar to eat it. Maybe it's not truma anymore. So he said that's what the Mishnah is saying. The chiddush is that a zar is not allowed to eat it. But the Gemara says Tanina, I don't need this Mishnah for that, because although that's a very important halacha, but that's a different Mishnah. Also, Masechtas Trumas Gedule, Truma, Truma. Why do you need two Mishnahs? You'll tell me, Gedule, Gedule. Maybe there's a Chiddush, because maybe there's a difference between Gedule Truma and Gedule, Gedule Truma. So, what's the difference? Gedule Truma is where you have the original and it just grew a little bit. So, it was originally Kamos X and now it grew a little bit, so now you have more kamos. So that's the chiddush, that it came from the truma, it's still going to be truma. But what about gidule gidulin? Gidule gidulin is where the original is not even there anymore. That's already a much bigger chiddush to tell me that even when that's not there, still this gidul is going to be considered truma. So maybe I need two mishnayos to tell me one, gidule truma truma, and the other one is that the gidul of the gidul, maik mashmalan, what would be the chiddush? B'davar shein zarei kala, that in the event that the seed, it doesn't go away, the halacha is, in certain instances, gidule gidulin is also considered truma. So maybe that's what this Mishnah. Just telling me the Gemara says, that's also a Mishnah, and also Masechtas Truma is Hatevel. Now, Mishnah is talking about Tevel, not Shrum. But Tevel, Gidul of Mutarim, it's Gidul is Mutar, Bedavash Nezare Kala. If the seed is not there anymore, Abba Bedavash Nezare Kala, if the seed is there, Afilu Gidule Gidulin, Asurim Achilo. So you see this concept of Gidule Gidulin, even though that Mishnah is talking about Tevel, it's not talking about Truma. But the bottom line is, you see the concept of Gidule Gidulin by Tevel, it's fair to assume the same halacha would be with regards to Truma. So the bottom line is, the Gemara says that Rava Bar Masna meets these two Talmidim of Rabba, and they said, we just learned Masechtas Trumas by Rabbi. He said, really, Chabakasha? What's the Kasha? Told him over a Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that if you have Truma that's Tameh, and you plant it in the ground, and now something grows, so the halacha is that what grows is Tahar, number one, and number two, it's Asam Milechel. So this Rava Bar Masna asked the Talmidim of Rabbi, he says, I understand Pshat in this Mishnah. Vos made the Mishnah. If the Mishnah is coming to tell me that a coin's not allowed to eat because it's Truma Tameh, you just said it's Tar. So why would a coin not be allowed to eat it? Elamai, what it means is that a Zar is not allowed to eat it. What would be the Chiddush of that? I need this Mishnah to tell me that. The halacha would be Al's Gedule. I know Gedule Truma. I even know Gedule Gedule. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Ishtiku. And they were quiet. They didn't know what to say. They just came back from learning Trumas by Rabba, and they couldn't say Pshat and Apash the Mishnah Masechtas Trumas. So they told him, Midi Shmil Chabaha, you have anything to say on this? Maybe you have a teretz. It's a good kasha. You stumped us. Maybe you know a teretz. Amalu, yeah. Hachi Amar Rav Sheshes. I'll tell you what I heard from Rav Sheshes. May Asurim. You know what Asurim means? Asurim Lekayan. It means a coin's not allowed to eat it. What was the problem? Why shouldn't the coin not be able to eat it? Even if it's Truma, worst case scenario, it's Truma Taira. And even though it was originally Tame, but once you replanted it, it becomes. So why would a coin not be allowed to eat it? So he said, for a whole different reason. The reason is because truma, like kachin, becomes tameh behesach hadas. If you're masiach das from truma, if you're masiach das from kachin, we assume the worst might have happened to it, and as a result, it becomes tummy. Rashi says the makar to this halacha is the pasuk es mishmeres trumoisai, and we learn from there avid la shimur. I'm reading Rashi. V'loy tasiach daitcha. You have to make a shmira on truma and kachin, and you're not allowed to be masiach das. So either way, he said that once you take the truma and you stick it into the ground, so at that point you are masiach das from it. And being that you were masiach das from it, that's why it's a problem. That was the teretz that he said. That's pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah means that it's aser even to a kohen, and the reason a kohen's not allowed to eat it, isn't it truma tahira? Yeah, it's truma tahira, but you were masiach das from it. And being that you were masiach das from it, it's possible behesach das. But the Gemara says, "Honi chalaman dama hesach das psul agof avi shap." That's all good if you hold that the psul hesach das, but you find by kachim is a psul agof. It's a beetsim psul, like all psul. There's a psul pigo, there's a psul lina, there's a psul tame, there's a psul called hesach das. If you're masiach das from kachim, it takes on a life of its own. It becomes possible. So according to the mandama that holds that there's a psul called hesachadas, it's very good. Ela mandama hesachadas psul tomavi. But there's another mandama. There's mandama that holds that the whole psul hesachadas is really a psul tom. The reason when you're masiach das from kachim etruma, you're not allowed to eat this kachim etruma anymore is because we're concerned that maybe it became Tome. So if it's all about a psul tuma, then what's pshat in this halacha? Why? Because in the worst case scenario, because you're masiach das, it could be tome. But it's not Tomei, because you replanted it, so it's Maman of Shachtar. So this teretz that Rava Bar Masna told the Talmidim of Rabba, the Gemara says it's very good if you hold that Pesach Hadas is a psul ba'etzim. That's what the Mishnah is coming to say. Then even though it's Tar, still the coin's not allowed to eat it because it became Tom. It became possible, Pesach Hadas. But if you hold Pesach Hadas is all about Tumma, so once the Mishnah says there's no problem with Tumma, so how can Pesach Hadas be worse than when you know for sure it's Tumma? So what's this machloikis about the psul of Hesach Hadas? So the Gemara now is going to digress a little bit. The Itmar Hesach Hadas, as it relates to Truman Kachim, that becomes possible to Hesach Hadas. Again, the Makar is Es Mishmeres, Trumoisai, Avidlu Shimu, you have to do a Shmira, from the Tasiach Taitcha, you have to make sure you're not Masiach Das. Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon, it's a Psal Tomahava. It's a Psal because of a Chashash and maybe Tomei. Rabbi Shimon Lakish, I'm a Psal Agofav, Rabbi Shimon Lakish said it's a Psal Agofav, Rabbi Yechon, I'm a Psal Tomahava, Rabbi Yechon said it's a Psal Tomahava, Yavi, Yavi, Tarenish, Yavi, 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 you right now, it's okay. Shimon, you would listen to Eliyahu Hanavi. Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Rabbi Shimon Lakish said, "Psul Agof have it." It's a psul agof. Shem Yove Eliyahu v'yitahareno. If Eliyahu Hanavi would come and he would say it's tar, ain't Shimon loy, you wouldn't listen to him. What's the machleik? Because Rabbi Yechon holds it's a psul tumah. So called zman is a concern that maybe it's tameh. It's a problem. Eliyahu Hanavi reveals to you that it's not tameh. No worries. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says it has nothing to do with a psul tumah, or maybe that's the underlying reason. But once there's something called a psul hesach hadas, takes on a life of its own. So even if you know 1,000% it never became tummy, it doesn't matter. You are masiach das, you violated the din as mishmeres through maisai, now lachas it's going to be a problem. Then afkamina would be, if Eliyahu Navi would come, he'd be matar, it wouldn't be an issue. So again, we mentioned this machloikis from Yoichan and Reish Lakish, so the Gemara is going to do what it does, digress. Esevei Rabbi Yoichanon, the Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Yoichanon that said that Hesach Hadas is a psul tumah, asked the kashya to Reish Lakish, who said it's a psul haguf. And his question was from a Tosefta in Mesechtes Zvachim. Rabbi Shmuel ben Oish, Rabbi Yoichan ben Breika Omer. Rabbi Shmuel, this son of Rabbi Yoichan ben Breika said, "Lul katan haya," there was a small crack or a small window inside the ground of the Azara, ben kevish lemizbeach, between the kevish and the mizbeach. Now Rashi says there was really no room and space between the kevish and the mizbeach. So what does it mean? Rashi dibra maskul ben kevish le mizbeach. Kaloimar. Whenever Rashi says kaloimar, it means he was bothered with something. The pashu pshat seems a little difficult, and as a result, Rashi needs to explain what the pshat really is. What's the kaloimar? There's no area between the kevish and the mizbeach. They were attached to each other. What it means is bekeren zavis, it was at the corner, samuch le kevish for samuch le mizbeach. So it's where the kevish and the mizbeach meet, b'makoyim sheheim mischabrim. Either way, it was b'marav yishal kevish, it was in the western part of the kevish. Shem ha'yuzarkim suli chatas ha'oif v'et ubet surasam v'yotzim l'beis ha'sreifa. What they did with that little lul was, is if they had a chatas ha'oif that they were working on, and Rashi says the chatas ha'oif zavoidu was done on that side of the kevish, on that side of the mizbeach. That's why the lul was there. So they would take the pasul chatas ha'oif and they would put it inside the lul, v'tubar tzurasam. They would wait until the meat changed its tzura. Rashi says they would wait overnight. And then they would burn it. So this lul was used for a chatas ha'oif that was pasul. It needed to be burnt, but before it was burnt, they had to make sure to ubat tzurasam, that they
it became deformed. It changed a little bit, because otherwise it would be inappropriate to burn it, right? To burn kachim is always a little bit the evidence. So they waited until it was to Ubat Zerasan, and then they would bring it to the Beis Hasharif. So what's the catch? Now, it's worth speaking out that Rashi makes a cheshbin based on kachim, Ayin Sham, as in Zayda Kachim or Rashi, that the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha and this lul, and this particular brisa, was discussing not just any chatas oif that became possible, but a chatas oif that became possible, behesach hadas. Rashi says, based on process of elimination, this is what it must be talking about. And the question was like this: I'm Rabbi Bishlam, a psul tumah havo. Bishlam, if the psul has chadas as a psul tumah mishum hachi by ibur tzura. I understand why you need ibur tzura. Shema yovel yovel tarena, because maybe it's really tar. So you're going to go ahead and you're going to burn something that maybe is kachim tar. You can't do that. So you wait until it becomes already not so nice. Then you can burn eliyam psul agov. But if you're going to tell me like Rish Lakish said that there's a psul beetsim called hesach hadas, normally why do I need Ibatura? But tonight we learn to the Mishnah Zayakal, Kosha Psule Begufay. Anytime you have any kachim that has a psula guf, you saw if miyat. That lach is you can burn it right away. If you have kachim that's possible, you don't need Ibatura. Ibatura is only in the event that the kachim itself, the thing you're burning, is not tummy. For example, bin dam u bebailim, if something happened to the dam, as a result, the bus is problematic. Or something happened to the bailim, as a result, the bus is problematic. It's only there that the halach is tuba tzurasim, the yaitzel lebeis hasreifa. So those are v'yechens kashat v'yish lakish, if by process of elimination, we somehow know that the ebraisa, that said there was a little cut on for the chatasayim that became possible, was talking about what type of psul? The psul of hesach hadas, and the halach is ibur tzura, so bishlema, if the psul hesach hadas, is because of chashash. And if all your navi would come, for example, and tell you tar, that lochas, you wouldn't have to worry about it. That's why you need zibur tzura. But if it's a regular psul agov, it's no different than the psul pigol, than the psul nicer, than the psul tumah. It's a regular psul. So if it's a regular psul, why do you need ibur tzura? That's the rule. Kol she psul begufa yisar miyad. It's only when the psul's not in the guf that you need ibur tzura. Amalei sir, ishlokish tol Rabbi Yochanan, hai tana, tana dvei rabbi baravuahu. This tana is a different tana. The Amar who said, afilu pigol tana ibur tzura. Not everybody holds with that Mishnah. You're right. There is a Mishnah that says kol hapshapsule begufa yisarif miyav, and everybody agrees there is another tana, the tana from the yeshiva Rabbi Baravua, who said afilu pigol ton ibur tzura. Oh, there's such a tana that said afilu pigol ton ibur tzura. So you see, even when there's a psula gufa needs ibur tzura, so I could always tell you that the sefta is going according to that man domar. Really, hesach hadas is a psula guf and still it needs ibur tzura. Another kash. Again, we're part of our digression. We're discussing the halachas of hesach hadas, specifically Rabbi Yochanan that holds hesach hadas is only a psul because maybe it's tummy. Rish Lakish holds hesach hadas is a psul haguf. Nitma oish nifsal abas. What would be if the basar of a carbon became tummy or it became pasul? Oish yatzchus aklam, or it was yotze. It went outside the area that it's not really allowed to go outside of. So left azara, basar kachim of kachi gadashim, that leaves the klam, it becomes klam. Point is, you have basar of a carbon, that's possible. Rabbi Eliezer says, Yisrael, you're still allowed to do zrika. You could do the zrika with the dam of a carbon whose basar is problematic. Rabbi Yeshua, I'm at law Yisrael. Rabbi Yeshua says he can't do zrika. Maida, Rabbi Yeshua is maida, she'im zarak, if you did do zrika, hurtza. That lach is, the diabet, it's going to be okay. And why is it going to be okay? Because there's a special halacha that we've seen already in Masechtas Pesachim that the tzitz was miratza for certain pesulim. So there are certain times where the zrika really shouldn't be a kosher zrika, but if there's a kohen gadol who's wearing the tzitz, even if he's not the one doing the avoida, but if he's wearing the tzitz, one man dama says even if he's not wearing the tzitz, but the halacha is the tzitz had an ability to be miratza to make certain zrikas that aren't supposed to work works. Again, we're dealing with basar that was nitma or nifsal or it was yoitze. Rabbi Eliezer says do zrika lekatchila. Rabbi Yeshua says, lo yizrik, no, don't do zrika lekatchila. However, Rabbi Yeshua's maida, that if you did the zrika, the tzitz is going to work it out. So the Gemara says, my nifsal, what does nifsal mean? Mishnah said nitma, we know what that means. Yatzo chutz leklaim, we know what that means. What does nifsal mean? Pasul? Be more specific. There's so many different psulim in kachim. Lav behesach hadas. Doesn't it mean hesach hadas? Again, why does it have to be hesach hadas? So Rashi explains based on process of elimination why it has to be hesach hadas. So the Rabbi Yechon said, I'm a bishlam psul tumah. Have a bishlam if it's a psul tumah. If the whole yisoid of the psul hesach hadas is related to tumah, hainu the mishkach sod meratzi tzitz. So it's very geshmak why Rabbi Yeshua says that bidi evid, the tzitz is going to work. Because when was the tzitz meratza? This is kachim. When was the tzitz meratza? It was meratza for tumah related issues. So it's very nice why it works. Lei amri psul haguf. But if it's a psul haguf, am I hurt tzitz? Why is the tzitz meratza? Where do you find that the tzitz is meratza for a psul haguf? So the Gemara says, my nifsal. No, you're wrong. You're assuming that oishin nifsal abasa, process of elimination, is referring to hesach hadas. Hence, you have a raya that hesach hadas must be a chashash tumah. It's not a psul haguf. Rish Lakish said, well, I'll tell you, hesach hadas is a psul haguf. So what did the braisa mean when it said nifsal? It meant nifsal b'tful yoy. It came in contact with a tful yoy, which is another way of saying, just a fancier way of saying, that it was tame. So, isn't that tame? So go back to the braisa. Nitma, it became tame. Nifsal abasar. It came in contact with a tful yoy. In other words, it became tame. So they're both tame. The word says trey gavni tame. You're right. The braisa wanted to say two different types of tame. But the point is not talking about hesach hadas. I'm not talking about hesach hadas. So you have no raya. You have no raya to this halach. Either way, we return to the topic, which is the halachis, not of hesach hadas, not the halachis of truma. That's been the topic of the last few dafim, daf lamed beis, daf lamed gimel, and daf lamed dalet. And the Gemara says that there were two amayroim that finished learning mesachtes trumas by Rabbah. As they're leaving Rabbah's yeshiva, they're on their way home. Pogabu Rava Bar Masna. Rava Bar Masna meets them. So he tells them, they start having a conversation. We just came from Rabbah. What did you learn this man? We learned Trumois. Really? You learned Trumois? Tell me. Was it the Rebbe gesagt? Vegan Trumois? So they said, you know what? Why not, instead of us telling you, you ask us a kasha. We'll give you an answer. And they asked him a kasha. I have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if you have Truma that's Tomei, you plant it in the ground, even though it was Tomei when you put it in the ground, but what comes out of the ground is going to be Tahar. However, vasurim milechel. You're not allowed to eat it. And they got into a whole pilpul. What does it mean, vasurim lechel? I mean, why can't you eat it? Does it mean the kohen's not allowed to eat it? Because it's tameh? You just said it's tar. So why shouldn't the kohen be able to eat it? Does it mean that the Yisrael's not allowed to eat it? Kamash malon, gidule truma is ketruma. That's true, but we know that halacha from somewhere else. So, like, what's the pshat? And they were stumped after learning a whole zman by Rabbah, Mesachtes Trumas. They didn't know the answer. So they said, Rabbah Bar Masna, okay, fine. Yes, it's a good kasha. You got us. So what's the teretz? So he said, I'm going to tell you what the teretz is. It means the kohen's not allowed to eat it. And the reason the kohen's not allowed to eat it is because it became problematic. Behesach Hadas. And the Gemara says that's only good according to Reish Lakish, who holds Hesach Hadas is a psul haguf. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that Hesach Hadas is only a problem because of Tumah. So if it's not Tumah, for sure, because it was replanted, it regenerated. So based on that, how could Hesach Hadas be worse? Either way, Kisalik Ravin, when Ravin came from Bavel Teretz Yisrael, Amar L'Shmaita Kameder Rabbi Yirmiyah. So he said this over to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Amar, as Rabbi Yirmiyah heard this, he heard this whole exchange, the two Talmidim of Rabbah and Rava Bar Masna and the Kasha and the Teretz and the other Teretz. So he said, Bavloi Tipshoi, oh, the foolish Babylonians, Mishum de Yasvi Ba'ara de Chashoicha, because they live in a dark land, Amrit and Shmaitza de Machashchu, they say Torah, that's also Choshech, that's also Tinkle. Says, I can't believe this exchange. What? How did they not know the right answer to the question? Wait, we just had a whole omelet and a half of drama trying to figure out Pshan and dismiss the message. He said, don't you know Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said in the name of Rabbi Shaya? He says, no. What did Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish say in the name of Rabbi Shaya? So he said, Mehachag, if you have the Mehachag, the water that was used on Sukkot, also known as the Nisuch HaMayim. So that was water that had Kedusha. Usually water doesn't have too much Kedusha. But there was Mayim that was born as a carbon, the Nisuch HaMayim that was born on Sukkot. So Rabbi Shlokesh said in the name of Rabbi Shai, if you have Meachak Shenitmu that became Tomei, Hishikon, if you would take the water and you would take the water and have it make contact with a Kosher Mikvah. If first you did that, quote unquote hashaka, and then you makdish it, you gave it to kedusha of nisuch hamayim tar. The halachas would be tar. Hikdish machachashikon if it was tame, and then you were makdish it, and then you did the hashaka tameim. Then the halachas it's going to be tame. So this gemara that we're about to learn is predicated on a halacha called hashaka. Hashaka is a halacha in Hilchas Mikvos that says if you have a liquid that's tame and it makes contact with a body of water that's tar, like a mikvah. So the halacha is, it's metaheret. So what's the halacha if you have meyachak, nisuch hamayim? That's tamei. Could you do ashaka? Could you not do ashaka? So the Gemara says it depends. If you were makdishit already, you can't do ashaka anymore. If you weren't makdishit, you can do ashaka. So Rabbi Yirmiyah said the following. He said, mechti, zriya ninu. Mali hashikon v'achakach ha'kneshon, mali ha'kneshon v'achakach ha'shikon. He said, how does ashaka work? He says, you know what works? It works exactly the way the Mishnah and Trumas that we've been discussing works. If you take a plant that's tameh. You stick it in the ground. It grows again. It's a davar chadash. We look at it as panim chadashes. When it makes contact with its source, from where it came, its makar, it becomes a new thing. That's the same concept of hashaka. You take the water, you put it and together with the mikvah, it makes contact with it, it's a davar chadash. So he said, if it's a davar chadash, it's like zriya, it's like you replanted it, it's like you sowed it again. So what's the difference if it was first hektish or not? Who cares if it's an alma? So you know, Rabbi Yumi said, you know what you see from here? Ain't zriya lehektish. This whole patent of zriya doesn't work for hektish. Oh, chanami, ain't zriya letruma. That's why the halacha is, it doesn't work. Meaning, loy when the Mishnah Masechtas Truma is saying that a kohen is not allowed to eat it. Why is a kohen not allowed to eat it? Because it's truma tmeya. What's the kasha? What do you mean? You did hashaka. You put it back in the ground. If you did it back in the ground, so now it came out tar. The Torah says, yeah, it came out tar. True, but also to a degree, you can't look at it as tar. And as it relates to the halach of truma tmeya, you have no choice but to view it as truma tmeya. What happened to the fact that it came back a new being? The problem is we're dealing with Truma. And when you're dealing with Truma, which has Kedusha, by Kedusha it doesn't work. What's the precedent for that? How do you know what by Kedusha it doesn't work? I know that from the Halacha of Ashoka. Because by Nisa Chamayim, the only time you could do Ashoka is if it wasn't Nisa Chamayim yet. But once you are Makdish, at that point you can't do Ashoka. So what do you see from there? Ein Zriya Lehektish. Hachanami, ein zriya lehektish. Just Rav Dimi. So Rav Dimi sat for kamal ala hashmait. He said over this halacha, the Rabbi Yirmi said, Amalei Abaya. So Abaya said, Hektishim bekli kamar. Tell me, when Rish Lakish sent the name of Rabbi Shaya, that the Me'achag, once it's Kaddish, once it has Kedusha, you can't do Ashok anymore. Did he mean it has Kedusha, you put it into a klishtares? It has the highest maximum level of Kedusha? Avu bepel loy avid rabbanu maila. But maybe if all it had was Kedusha's peh, meaning someone went to the water and he said, I want this to be Kaddish b'Kedushas Nisuch HaMayim. But he never put it into any of the holy vessels in the Beis HaMikdash. He never put it into any of the klisharis. In that instance, where it has Kedusha, but not the full amount of Kedusha, are you going to have this halacha that says, Ein Zriya Lehektish, that Ashok is not going to... Maybe, yeah, even if all it has is Kedusha's peh, you can have this halacha. So again, once it has Kedusha, Ein Zriya Lehektish, a special Maila, special Chumra and Hektish. But is that only when it has the full amount of Kedusha? What if it has a quasi-Kedusha? It has Kedusha's peh? But it doesn't have the Kedusha of being in the Kli. Amale, so he told him back, Rav Dimi, Zulay Shamati. I don't know. I'll tell you the truth. I didn't hear. However, Ken Yaitzeba Shamati, I can tell you something similar, a related halacha, that maybe you'll be able to imply from Amar Rabba Vo, Amar Rabbi Yoichan. Rav Vo, send name Rabbi Yoichan. Novim Shinitmu. If you have grapes that became Tomei, Darkon, Vacha, Kachetishon, if you were pressing the grapes and afterwards you were Makdish them, Tahirin, then the halacha is the juices that flow out of it are going to be tar. Hikdish Machach Darkon, if however you were Makdish the grapes and then you press them, Tmeim, the halacha is it's going to be Tomei. See, you have grapes, you're pressing the grapes and liquid's coming out of it. So this is very much related to yesterday's daf. So what's the halacha? If the anovim were chulin, so then the halacha is tar. Even if you were makdish it afterwards. But if when you were pressing it, it was chulin, the mashkin's going to be tar. If it was hektish already, then it's going to be tummy. So what's the difference if it's chumra or hektish? Must be it's a special chumra and hektish. That when it's hektish, then we say that the fruit is going to be metame the mashkin. Or, different nosach, then we say the mashkin's considered part of the fruit. Right, what was the shaila? Whether the fruit that comes out, the mashkin comes out of the fruit should be tamei, agav the fruit or not. Do we look at it as being part of the fruit? Or do we look at it as something that came from the fruit? So if we look at it as being part of the fruit, then it's going to be tamei. So it looks like when it's hektish, we take the more stringent position. When it's not hektish, then we take the less stringent position. Now, what was Dimi trying to say? V'anovim tiktushas peninu. Anovim that we're dealing with doesn't really have a keli that made it Kaddish. All it was Kedushas Peh. You said, I want these anovim to be Kaddish. Well, what keli are we talking about? And still you see the Rabbana made a chumra. So you see, you have these chumras, even when it comes to Kedushas Peh. Rav Yosef said, anovim ka'amrit, you're bringing me a raya from anovim. Don't shtel tzu your grapes. Here we're dealing with anovim of truma. That's what we're talking about. The kedushas peh did. Oh, kedushas kli dami. Whose kedushas peh is kedushas kli. Meaning, the maximum of kedusha that it could have is kedushas peh. Anovim shel truma can't have more than kedushas peh. There is no mitzias of when there were things that were brought as karbanas in the Beis Hamikdash, so there was a seder of kedusha. So that like the dam before went into the mizbech and went into a klisharis. The nisach hamayim before the mayim went into the mizbech and went into a klisharis. So part of the kedusha process involved a keli, but anovim doesn't involve a keli. So what was he trying to say? Where there is no keli, so then you don't need a keli. Kol haroi labila. Right when you don't. have a keli, there's no possibility for it, then you don't need it. Avalhani debayi keli. But these that need a keli, nisach hamayim did not have full kedusha until it went onto the keli. So it could be bepeh. If all you did was makdish it bepeh, you didn't put it on the keli. The other rabbanon maila could be over there. The rabbanon didn't make a maila. Either way, we mentioned Rabbi Yochanan's halacha. What did Rabbi Yochanan say? Anovim shenitmu. If you have anovim that are tameh, now halacha is you can press the anovim. You have nothing to worry about as far as the juices go. If it's hektish, then yeah. What's the difference? Hektish, there's a chumra, then we look at the mashkin as being part of the fruit. By chumin, you don't do that. If it's not hektish, it's not a problem. Yesterday's daf. You have to make sure that you press it even less than a beya. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't talking about hektish. He wasn't talking about truma, kedushas peh, kedushas kli. He was talking about good old-fashioned anovim. That atame. Now, loch is that even though he held in yesterday's daf that the juices aren't considered part of the fruit, but when they emanate from the fruit, when they're extracted from the fruit is going to be metamidim. Now, fruit is only metama, like all food, if it's a kebeya. So he said that if it's pachas, pachas mi kebeya, you could do it. But what do you see from there? Pachas, pachas mi kebeya is okay, but yois mi kebeya is not okay. Here, Rabbi Yochanan seems to say, anovim shal hektish is a problem. Anovim shal chumin is not a problem, even if it's yoiser mikabeya. So the Gemara says two terus. Iba you say mahachanami pachas pachas mikabeya. Maybe here we mean pachas mikabeya. And chanam, if it's a beya, you're right. There's no this tumas oichlin, even if it's chulin. So it's going to be a problem. However, Rabbi Yochanan said that when it's chulin, it's not a problem. He was talking about what's pachas mikabeya. Iba you say or you could say Rabbi Chanina skana kayhanim type of teretz. Hasam over there, the nagli lohu berishain. Nahavalu inu sheni. Could be over there, it's talking about where the fruit touched the rishin. As a result, the fruit was a sheni latoma. If the fruit is a sheni latoma, it could be metamed a mashkin. How could it be metamed a mashkin? Even chulin? We just said we're talking about chulin. So how could a sheni l'tom be metamed a mashkin? Because even though Thomas mashkin midairais is half of the sugya of Reb Chanin is kana kayanim, but midirabbanon it for sure becomes tameh. Now does it become tameh? It becomes a rishon l'tomah. Now does it become a rishon l'tomah? It can become a rishon l'tomah when it comes in contact with a sheni l'tomah. So a sheni chulin that touches mashkin makes the mashkin even to a rishon. Oh, so maybe Rabbi Yochanan was talking about where it had the ability to be metama, where it was a sheni latoma. Hach over here, where he said by chum, won't be an issue, is the nagi b'sheni, navalu shlishi. He's talking about where the fruit touched the sheni, which means that the fruit itself is really a shlishi latoma. If the fruit itself is a shlishi latoma, so the fruit anyways can't become tame. If the mashkin anyways can't be tame, because as chomer as mashkin is midirabbana and yotchez dvarim, the biggest chomer is that a sheni latoma can be metame, but a shlishi latoma can't. Being a shlishi latoma can't, so that's why you don't have to worry. The only issue would be is if the mashkin is part of the fruit. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan said, the mashkin is not part of the fruit. Therefore, by chulin, it's not a problem. Oh, by hektish, there we have a special chumra. We look at the mashkin as if it's part of the fruit. Either way, Rav Yirmiya commented on the whole Amud Aleph of Psachim Daf Lamed Daled. Now, I'm going to tell you why. The halacha is that if you take truma that's tameh, you plant it in the ground. The halacha is even a kohen is not allowed to eat it. It's nothing to do with hesach hadas. The reason a kohen is not allowed to eat it is because the whole chiddush of zriya that when you put something in contact with its makar, it changes it. That's only true for ordinary things, but by hektish is different. Malo olu behektish. Chazal made certain chumras when it comes to hektish. So the Gemara from here until the end of the daf is going to bring a few rayas to this idea of malo osu behektish. Amar Rava, number one. Afanan amitanino. I'll bring you a raya from a brayso. The pasuk says, "V'nosan olav mayim chayim el keli." The context over there is someone that's tamei meis. In order for him to be tar, he needs to have afer of the parah aduma sprinkled on him. So the pasuk says, "You take mayim chayim." You put it into a keli, and together you go and you spritz it on top of this person. And we learn from there, shetehei chiyusam bakli. The pasuk seems to be saying that, or chazal darshan anyways, from this pasuk, that you have the keli that was used to take the water, it has to be the same exact keli where you mix the efer, and that ultimately you use the spritz on top of this person. Meaning, you can't mix the water from one keli to another. Can't use a cliche, right? So if you're going to take the water with this keli, can't mix it into another hot cup. No, this has to be the keli. Whichever one you use, you take and use the keli. That's the law. V'nosan. Problem is, it's a drasha that says, V'nosan, and it's mashma alma pollution inu. V'nosan, just in grammar, sounds like you could take it from one keli to another keli. So what's the kasha? V'amichu barininu elo. You see, from here, milo hachanami milo. Must be that that first halacha that says you're not allowed to mix it from one keli to another keli is a special chumrah. It's a chumrah by kachim, because really, all throughout Shas, v'nasan means tolushin. So why over here would v'nasan mean not tolushin? Must be it's a special chumrah as it relates to kachim. Again, we're just bringing a very subtle point, a completely unrelated topic. Nechazal made chumras when it comes to hektish. Amar Rav Simi Barashi, afananami tenina. I'll bring you a raya from a mishnah. What's this Mishnah? Tava v'ala. We're talking about Mitzayra. The seventh day of his Tumah, he went to the mikvah. When he emerges from the mikvah, Oichab Ma'is, he's allowed to eat Ma'isa Sheni right away. Harav Shimshon, once the sun sets, that's the first Mishnah in Shas. Mishasha Kehanim Nechnasan Lecha B'Trumasan Oichab B'Truma. You're allowed to eat Truma. B'Truma Im Kachim Loi. You see, he's only allowed to eat Truma. He's not allowed to eat Kachim. When is he allowed to eat Kachim? The next day when he brings a carbon, he's a Mechosa Kippurim. I mean, it's a concept of someone that's Tameh, that's Tahar, however, he can't eat Kachim. Known as a Mechusik Purim. Amai, Tar, who? He's Tar. Every Mechusik Purim is Tar. Ela, Milo. It must be. It's a special Chumra by Kachim. Hachinami Milo. Rav Ashi, finally, Afana Nami Tanina. I have a different Raya from a Braisa. The Pasuk says, Vahabasar, Kol Tar, Yoichal Basar. The rabbis, Esma, Eitzim, Ulevoina. That the Eitzim, the wood that was used in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Levoina that was used in the Beis HaMikdash, were able to be Tame. Eitzim, Ulevoina, Bnei Etmuininu. How could Eitzim and Levoina be Tame? Asked Rav Ashi. Ela, what do you have to say? Milo, it's a special Chumra by Kachim. Hachinami Milo. So too over here, we have a special chumrah by Kachin. And this concludes the sugya as it relates to Truma, and specifically the Gemara's discussion of the Mishnah in Masechtis Trumas that seem to have baffled the great Amiram, even the two Talmidim of Rabbah that spent the whole Zman learning Masechtis Trumas. They couldn't figure out what Pshat in the Mishnah is when the Mishnah says Truma Tmei, that you stuck back in the ground and it regrows. Now, Loch is Asur Milacha. What's Asur Milacha? Why? The Kain's not allowed to eat it. It's Truma Tmei. I thought it's Truma Tahira. Oh, Yisrael's not allowed to eat it. Yeah, that's true. We know it's true. And the Gemara really offered two Pshatim. Either it means the Kain's not allowed to eat it because of Hesach Hadas, which is Tali Namachleks Rabbi Yechon Reish Lakish, that the Gemara digressed on a little bit, or the reason Asura Milechel is because a special chumrah when it comes to Kachim, that even though ordinarily you're right, it's tar, but in Hilchis Truma we still view it as Truma Tmeya, because Ein Zriya LeHekdesh, just like Hashaka doesn't work by Hekdesh, as we see by Nisach HaMayim, so to Truma, which is a form of Hekdesh, a less chumrah form, but a form of Hekdesh nonetheless, is for that reason that Halach is we're not going to view it as Truma Tahira, rather we're going to view it as Truma Tmei, and then the Gemara digressed a little bit and brought other rayas from different places in Shas, where you find this concept that special chumras with regards to Kachin. The biggest raya is the idea of a Mechusa Kippurim. Someone that he was Tameh, he went to the mikvah, the sun set, he could even eat Truma. Kachin, maybe not. You see, Malu, also behektish. So one ha'ara, something interesting as it relates to today's daf, and that is with regards to the lightest wine in the daf. And that is the Gemara on Daf Lamed Daled Amid Beis. So the Gemara said that there was a fascinating exchange amongst Amoiran with regards to a Mishnah Masechtes Trumas. And at the very end, Kisalag Ravin, Amr L'Shmaita Kamed Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rav met Rabbi Yirmiyah, and he repeated this whole exchange to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Amar. And when Rabbi Yirmiyah heard that, he made the following comment. He said, Bavloi Tipshoi, the foolish Babylonians, Mishum de Yasvi b'chashoicha, ba'ar de chashoicha, because they live in a dark land, they say halachas that are dark as well. Meaning, he said this was a very, very foolish exchange. They should have known pshat in this Mishnah. And I understand why they said this, because they live in Bavel. This is a product. This is Bavel 101. Hani bavloi tipshoi mishum de yasfi. Because they live ba'ar de chashucha, amritun shmaitza de mechashcha. Pretty sharp. But this is what Rabbi Yirmiyah said. The truth is, if you look in the Maseiros HaShas, the Maseiros HaShas sends you to other places in Shas. Yumin Nun Zayin Amar Aleph, Zvachim Samach Amar Beis, Menachos Nun Beis Amar Aleph. If you look up all those Gemaras, it's all Rabbi Yirmiyah, and Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying the same thing. Hani Bavloi Tepshoi, there was something that he was very taken aback by. Like, I can't believe in Babel, they don't know this. Ah, these are the foolish Babylonians. And it's because of the fact that they live in such a place that these are the types of halachas that they say. It's interesting. There are other Gemaras in Shas where Rabbi Yirmiyah seemed to talk in a derogatory way with regards to the Babylonians. The Gemara says in Masechtis Sanhedrin, Dav Chav Dalid Amid Aleph. The Pasuk says in Eicha, B'machshakim hoshivani kemei seyoylam. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yirmiyah said, what is this pasuk referring to? What's been machshakim hoishivani kimeisa yoylam zet Talmud Bavli? It's referring to Talmud Bavli. The machshakim hoishivani, a pasuk in Eichon, no less. That you know what the machshakim hoishivani is? Talmud Bavli is choishik. It's tinkle, finster. Talmud Bavli is choishik. That's what Rabbi Yirmiyah said. Rabbi Yirmiyah clearly wasn't very impressed with the way the people used to learn in Bavli. There's a Gemara in the Sechtes Ksubas. The Gemara over there brings a discussion that Abaye and Rava were having with regards to who's bigger, the Talmidei Chachamim that lived in Bavel or the Talmidei Chachamim that lived in Eretz Yisrael. So Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Chad minayu odif mitrei minon. He said, one Talmudic scholar that lives in Eretz Yisrael is greater than two Talmudic scholars that live in Bavel, meaning the Chevra in Eretz Yisrael are... they're much bigger than us. Amar Rava. Rava said, true, I happen to agree with that. However, v'chad minon, one of us, ki solo klahasa, when he goes from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, meaning if you take someone that has a Babylonian background and he goes to learn in Eretz Yisrael, then adav ki trei minaya, he's going to be bigger than two of them. And he said, how do you know that? Meaning, it's true. Really, when all things equal, the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael were bigger than Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel. But when you have someone that started off in Bavel and then he goes to Eretz Yisrael, he's going to end up being bigger than Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel. He said, how do I know that? My raya is Exhibit A, Rabbi Yirmiyah. The Rabbi Yirmiyah, ki have a hacha, when he was here in Bavel, he have a yada, my kami rabbani, never understood what the rabbanim were talking about. He didn't understand. He just, everything went over his head. Kitzalik la'aslan. Then Rabbi Yirmiyah went to Eretz Yisrael and Kari Lan. You know how he refers to us nowadays? Bavloi Tipshai. So you see, Rabbi Yirmiyah steigt so much. So why does he call us Bavloi Tipshoi? He says, oh, because he went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. And when you go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, oh, that's already that's a whole different deal. You're right. Rabbi Yirmiyah was really from Bavel, but he went to learn Eretz Yisrael. But the bottom line is all Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah in Mesechtes Pesachim, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Rabbi Yirmiyah in Yuma Nun Zayin, Zvachim Daf Samech, Menachos Nun Beis. Rabbi Yirmiyah is the one in Mesechtes Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Talud, who said, "Machshakim Yishivani Kimeisa Yoylam." It's referring to Talmud Bavli. And Rabbi Yirmiyah was the one that even Abaye Verava, they were like very impressed. He said, look at Rabbi Yirmiyah, look how much he shdaiged. When Rabbi Yirmiyah was in Bavel, he didn't even understand what the Rabbanim were learning and discussing. And then he went to Eretz Yisrael, and look what became of Rabbi Yirmiyah. It's interesting, there's one other Amora in Shas that you find often talked about the Maila of Eretz Yisrael versus Bavel. And that is the Amora Rab Zeira. Rab Zeira said in Masechtes Nedarim, Daf Memtes Amid Beis, Hani Bavloi Tipshoi. Sounds familiar? Now he was talking about not a halacha. Da achli lachma balachma. He says they make sandwiches. You know what they put in their sandwich? Bread. He says, Hani Bavloi Tipshoi, these foolish Babylonians. They make bread sandwiches. Another Gemara, Masechtes Beya Daf Tezayin, where Abzeir again said the same thing. He said, Hani Bavloi Tipshoi. It's interesting. The Gemara in Masechtes Ksubis, Daf Kuf Yud Amid Beis. The Gemara we talked a lot about in the Raid Bites in when we learn Masechtes Brachas. Reb Zeira have a komeshtamit minei the Rabbi Yehuda, the boy lemesek l'Eretz Yisrael. Reb Zeira was trying to avoid Rabbi Yehuda because he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. So why was he trying to avoid Rabbi Yehuda? The Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Kol oylam mibavel Eretz Yisrael." Why did say he now let it go from Babel to Eretz Yisrael? But Reb Zeira wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, so he had to avoid Rabbi Yehuda. Reb Zeira famously left Babel and he went to Eretz Yisrael. Oh, it's Reb Zeira l'shitasa. He thought the Babylonians were fools. Hani bavloi tipshoi. They eat bread with bread. So this is the way he felt. So it makes a lot of sense why this is something that he would have wanted to do. Another Gemara. A Gemara Masechtes Bava Metziah. Daf Pei Hei Amid Aleph. The Gemara says Reb Zeira, he saw the clarity of Yisrael. When Reb Zeira came to Eretz Yisrael, Yosef Meyet Hanesa. He fasted 100 fasts. Why? What was the objective of the 100 fasts? The l'shtakach Gemara bavlo aminei. Because he wanted to forget Talmud Bavli. Because it was confusing him. So he didn't want to remember Talmud Bavli anymore. So he didn't fast that he should remember his learning. Just the opposite. He fasted that he should forget. It's Reb Zeira. It's all the same Reb Zeira. Bavloi Tipchoi. Reb Zeira is trying to get out of Bavel. He's even avoiding his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda. He's going against the Rebbe because he feels he just has to get, he has to leave. He has to go to Eretz Yisrael. What does he do when he comes to Eretz Yisrael? He fasted 100 fasts that he should forget. That he should forget his Talmud Bavli. But I think the Oyla Al Kulana, is a Gemara that we're all familiar with. It's in Gemara Masechtes Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Nun Ches Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkin. Right, that we all know. Who said Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkin? I'm Reb Zeira. It's Reb Zeira. This is Reb Zeira L'shitasai. Bavloi Tipshoi, he's fasting 100 fasts. He wants to leave Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael. And Reb Zeira is the one that said Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkin. So you find this idea by Rabbi Yirmiyah, all the Gemaras that we mentioned, and you find the word Reb Zeira. What's, I think, particularly interesting is that Reb Zeira and Reb Yirmiyah had a very close relationship. Reb Zeira was Reb Yirmiyah's Rebbe. So Reb Zeira, who was Reb Yirmiyah's Rabbi Muvik, and Reb Yirmiyah, who was Reb Zeira's Talmud Muvik, so they were kulam b'chada shita. It's obvious. They both felt very strongly that Torah is going to be most manifest and is going to proliferate most in Eretz Yisrael. So much so, the cherry on top is Avirud Eretz Yisrael Machkim. So I'll tell you something interesting. There's a tshuva from the Rambam. This is in Shailos HaTshuvos HaRambam, tshuva Shin Mem Test. The Ritva in Mesechtes Yuma, Daf Nun Zayin, brings this Gemara. So the Gemara in Mesechtes Yuma that the Ritva is quoting is on the Gemara that Rabbi Yirmiyah said that Hani Bavloi Tepshoi, because they live in a dark land, that's why their Torah is dark. Said the Rambam. Again, this is the Rambam. I'm reading it from the Ritva in Mesechtes Yuma, Daf Nun Zayin. Said the Rambam, Rabbi Yirmiyah L'tameh, where Rabbi Yirmiyah said, Hani Bavloi Tepshoi, and he spoke down about the Torah of the Babylonians. This is Rabbi Yirmiyah L'shitasi, the Amar Huseb, the Machshakim Yishivani Kimesa Yolam, the Talmud Bavli, our L'shitasi that we just spoke out. It's the Mefurish Rambam. The Rambam said this in a tshuva. It's the same Rabbi Yirmiyah. The time, and he said the reason was, is because Rabbi Yirmiyah lived in a time that there was persecution going on in Bavel, where there was genocide, where there was a shmad, where it was very difficult for a Yid to be able to function like a Yid. There were no yeshivas. It wasn't so simple to learn Torah in Bavel when Rabbi Yirmiyah was alive. And because it was very tricky to be able to learn Torah then, it's for that reason Rabbi Yirmiyah felt that you want to steigen learning, go to Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, it's calm, there's peace. Over there, the government lets you do what you need to do. There's no shmad. And as a result, that's a place that you're going to be able to learn Torah. But says the Rambam, Miu lav b'chol ha-Torah so you can't. It wasn't like this in every generation. Ela bimei Rabba v'Rav Yosef, v'Abaye v'Rava, the Havelu Shmadis. In those times, it was a Shmat. Kidi Isa v'Asoiches Apoyalev. V'Amina Nami v'Perekei Lutrefes, Orku Rabba Rav Yosef. Rabba Rav Yosef had to run away. Rambam's varfing agada to Gemars. V'Rav Zeira amarat lo harikoi, so you baruch emachmas ha-Shmadis. It was because of that. However, if you... And that's why Reb Zeira throughout Shas is talking about Eretz Yisrael, and he seems to be denigrating the Torah and Bavel, and that's where Reb Yirmiyah is doing the same thing, because they lived at a time where it was very challenging, it was very difficult to learn Torah and Bavel. So if it's difficult to learn Torah and Bavel, so it's for that reason they said, oh, you want to run to Eretz Yisrael. Avol, says the Rambam, Achri came afterwards, years later, Niskabra HaTorah B'Bavel. Torah became much stronger in Bavel. And as a result, Fakert, you were able to learn Torah and Bavel. Kol Shekein, and he says, certainly, Bimei Rav Ashi, certainly in the times of Rav Ashi, Damrina Bimeis Rebbe Vad Rav Ashi, when Motzinu Torah V'Gdula B'Makam Echa. He said, certainly in the times of Rav Ashi, where you find that Rav Ashi was Torah V'Gdula B'Makam Echa. How can Rav Ashi have been Torah V'Gdula B'Makam Echa? Torah V'Gdula? In Germany in 1939, was it possible to be Torah V'Gdula? What kind of Gdula did you have? It was impossible. So said the Rambam, if Rav Ashi was described as Torah V'Gdula B'Makom Echad, Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Rav Ashi, they were Torah V'Gdula B'Makom Echad, so it must be at that time it wasn't so difficult to be a Yid living in Bavel. So there were different tkufas. There were tkufas where it was very challenging to be a Yid that was living in Bavel, and it was during those times, the times of Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef, the times of Abaye and Rava, the times of Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Yirmiyah, I'm quoting from the Rambam, that's when there was this idea of Avir Eretz Yisrael Machim, that's when it was B'machshakim Yishivani Kimesi Yoylam, it's referring to Talmud Bavli. But in the times, for example, of Rav Ashi, says the Rambam, who was Torah V'Gdula, you see, had a ganz good. Oh, it was possible. That's fakert. Look how much Torah there was in Bavel then. So says the Rambam, here's the punchline. Lav b'chol hadoris. It wasn't always true. Sometimes it was true, but it wasn't necessarily always the case. So I was thinking just one ha'ara, perhaps, and that is when we learned Masechtas Erev and Daf Mem Vav and Mem Zayin, and then we kept on coming back to it. We went through some of the klolei apsak, right? The Gemara over there discusses different klolim when you learn a sugya, and it's not clear from the sugya itself who we paskin like. So this klolei apsak, where the klolim go on to explain and tell us who that loch is going to be. So we quoted a lot from the Shailos HaTshuvos Chavis Yoyer in Simon Tzadik Dalid, where he wrote a small kuntris to one of his Talmidim, the Shoyal. He asked him if he can please put together some of the klolim that he saw he was masader in his house, and he sent him this little kuntris. But either way, he goes to a different klolim epsak. So one of the klolim that the Chavis Yoyer talks about is whenever there's a machloikis between Rav Ashi and Ravina, who do we paskin like? Do we paskin like Rav Ashi, or do we paskin like Ravina? So he brings it to machloikis Rishayim. The Rosh and the Bahag and Rabbeinu Yosef Toiv Elim, they all said the halachas like Ravina. It says the Chavis Yor, it's a big chiddush to me. Machloikis between Rav Ashi and Ravina, we paskin like Ravina. We know Rav Ashi was Ravina's Rebbe. He was a Talmud Chavar Ravina. It's a Mefurish Gemara. It's a Gemara Masechtas Eiruvin, Daf Samachdal. So if Rav Ashi was Ravina's Rebbe, so why would we paskin like the Talmud Ravina? Wouldn't it make more sense that we should paskin like the Rebbe Rav Ashi? So the Chavis Yor says a Dover Nifla. Venerally Ktsastan. Ki Avira de Eretz Yisrael Ahani le Ravina. Ravina lived in Eretz Yisrael. I am an Achis Membez Aman Aleph. Rav Ashi lived in Bavel. And because Ravina lived in Eretz Yisrael, so he had Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim. And the Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim of Ravina is what helped that he should steig in his learning, and therefore the halacha kemoisa. Because Avira de Eretz Yisrael isn't just a nice dvar agada. But Avira de Eretz Yisrael, it penetrates, it's able to literally influence psak halacha. So Ravina lived in Eretz Yisrael, even though he was the Talmud, halacha kemoisa klapi Rav Ashi, who was the Rebbe. Why? Because he lived in Babel. Because there's a concept of Avira de Eretz Yisrael machim. I once saw Rav David Yoel Weiss on one of his svarim say, Hishtel su, this Chavis Yor, where the Chavis Yor get this from? Some major chiddush, right? The Chavis Yor saying that Avira de Eretz Yisrael machim is something that has the ability to impact halacha. So he says, the Makar L'Choyro to this Chavis Yor is a Ramban. A Ramban in the Mulchamis. Listen to the Bekiyas of Rav David Yoel Weiss. He said it's a Ramban in the Mulchamis. It's in the third parak of Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara over there is discussing a machloikis between Rabbah and Rav Zeira. Says the Mulchamis Hashem, the Ramban, that the Gemara wasn't Machriya, who we paskin like. So he says, if you have a machloikis between Rabbah and Rav Zeira, so who's the halacha going to be like? So he says, I think the halacha is going to be like Rav Zeira. And he says two reasons. Number one, Rav Zeira was Basra. Even though Rabbah and Rav Zeira were contemporaries, Rav Zeira lived past Rabbah, he's the Basra, and sometimes there's a concept that we paskin like the latter. The Iyu Adif Lemifsa Kavase. He says, besides, I'll tell you another cheshmet, because Rabbah lived in Bavel, and Rav Zeira lived in Eretz Yisrael, and Avira Eretz Yisrael Achkumetve. And it was the Avira Eretz Yisrael that caused that Rav Zeira should be bigger than Rabbah, and that's why the Allah is like, so said Rav David Yoel Weiss, this is L'chayr, where the Chavis Yar got it from. The Chavis Yar said, Amachlex Ravina Rav Ashi, we passing like Ravino, even though Ravina is the Talmud, because Avira Eretz Yisrael Machim, what's the Makar that Avira Eretz Yisrael Machim can impact Halacha? It can impact the Klolam of Psak. It's a Ramban. Because Ramban said, when there's a Machlex between Rabbah and Rav Zeira, we pass like Rav Zeira. Why? Because Rabbah lived in Babel, Rav Zeira lived in Eretz Yisrael, and as a result, you have Avira Eretz Yisrael Machim. So thinking, Lafid, this Rambam, I don't think it's a tzushta. Because the Rambam said not all the tkufas were the same. Rabbah and Rav Zeira, they lived b'shas hashmad, says the Rambam. Rambam says in the times of Rabbah and Rav Yosef and Abaya and Rava and Rav Zeira and Rav Yirmiyah, there were shmadas during that time in Bavel. And at that time, there were shmadas in Bavel. So over there, Avir there to Strom Machin. That's where Rav Zeira said Avir there to Strom Machin. That's why Rav Yirmiyah said that Machshakim Hoshivani Kimesi Oilam said Talmud Bavli, because during that time, it was very hard to learn Torah in Bavel. But the Chavis Yor was discussing Ravina and Rav Ashi. The Rav Ashi is the one Amayr that the Rambam spoke out. The Rambam says, but later you were able to learn Torah and Bavel. Kol shkem imei Rav Ashi. Show you Torah v'gedula b'mokam echad. Rav Ashi wasn't missing anything in Bavel. Rav Ashi was able to reach his full potential even though he wasn't in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, if he was able to reach his full potential, then as it relates to Ravina Rav Ashi, you don't have the klal. So the Mechamis maybe held like the Rambam, who held that during the tkuf of these Amayram, there were shmadas, and it was as much as they tried and they shtayed all the Talmidim of Babel, but on some level they didn't come to the Chevra in Eretz Yisrael. So over there you would have the rule, Avir Eretz Yisrael Machkin would impact the Halacha. Rabbi Rav Zeira, the Halacha is going to be like Rav Zeira. But as it relates to Ravina Rav Ashi, that was a whole different tkufa. Fakir, near the Rambam says, Koshkim Imei Rav Ashi, there was a tremendous amount of Torah already in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, there was a tremendous amount of Torah in Eretz Yisrael. So over there, it was going to be different. But either way, this is the Rambam's pshat in Avir Eretz Yisrael Machim. It's not because of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, but Avir Eretz Yisrael Machim is related simply because there were certain tkufas. And fakir, all the tkufas where Chazal spoke about Avir Eretz Yisrael Machim, says the Rambam, if you know history and you know the rest of the story, you'll know during those times it was very difficult for the Yidden who lived outside of Eretz Yisrael, the majority of which lived in Bavel, and that's why Avir Eretz Yisrael was Machim. But Lav B'chol Hadoros, it's not necessarily the way that it has to be in every generation. And there were generations not too distant future, in the times of Rav Ashi already, where the Rambam says it wasn't like that. But this is, of course, not the Pashup Shah. It's the Rambam. And Milonu Godol Karambam. But it's not the Pashup Shah. The Pashup Shad for Shtetin Svarim and Rishonim is the reason Avir Eretz Yisrael Machkin is because in Eretz Yisrael there's Kedusha. And in Eretz Yisrael there's Shechina. And it's the Shechina and the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. It's that that causes the Torah in Eretz Yisrael to be on another level. And that Kedusha and Shechina that a Yid feels, you feel it even today when you go to Eretz Yisrael, it's that that's the basis behind Avir Eretz Yisrael Machkin. The truth is, I saw a Dover Nifla in the Margolis Hayam, from Ruvi Margolis. It's on the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Choftal Rabin Aleb, B'machshakim Hoshivani Kimesa Yoylam. So he has two paragraphs. At the end of the second paragraph, he quotes a Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma is discussing Torah Shabbat Peh. Says the Medrash Tanchuma, Torah Shabbat Peh is kosher lilmoid. It's very difficult to learn. V'yesh batzar godo. And sometimes it's even painful. Shehu meshulo v'choshech. Because Torah Shabbat Peh is compared to Choshech. Shenemar ha'am ha'hilchim b'choshech ro ur gadol elu balei ha'talmud. She ro ur gadol. Why? What's the ur gadol? Shakadosh Baruch Hu meir einayim b'isr v'heter b'tameyu v'tahar. Says the Medrash Tanchuma, Torah Shabbat Peh is inherently difficult. It's dark. It's shulo l'choshech. Shenemar ha'am ha'hilchim b'choshech ro ur gadol. Narvas, when Talmidei Chacham Shtag and they learn Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he's meir einayim. As for that reason, says that's why the Yidden didn't want to be mekabel to Torah Shabbat Peh. This is the famous Tanchuma. Torah Shabbat Peh, they were willing to be mekabel. Torah Shabbat Peh is choshech. They were afraid to touch the Torah Shabbat Peh. At shekotan aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu arkegiyas. And he told them in matan lezat Torah mutavim lav shom take for raschem v'chulu v'chulu v'advarim yidun. But either way, says the Medrash Tanchuma, that Torah Shabbat Peh is inherently choshech, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meyer, and that's where the ur of the Torah comes. So says the Margolis Sayam, it's half of a fellow. Because that's the Torah Shabbat Peh. And the Torah Shabbat Peh is b'machshakim hoshivani. It's choshech, like the Medrash Tanchuma says. But in Eretz Yisrael, where there was Shechina, so in Eretz Yisrael, you had more manifest the HaKadosh Baruch Hu meir einayim b'isa v'heter b'tamah v'tar. Over there, you had the Meiris Hainayim of the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that made it all. Avira Eretz Yisrael Machim. But in Bavel, where they were outside of Eretz Yisrael, where they weren't in the Makam of Ashoyes Hashchino, you know what they had? The Machshakim Hoshivani. That's the Tifkait. That's what Rabbi Yirmiyah meant. When Rabbi Yirmiyah said in today's daf, he said, oh, Hani Bavloi Tipshoy, they live in a land of Choshech. They live in Choshech. They're immersed in Choshech. They're learning something that's it's dark, it's tinkle. Without Shechino, Torah is very, very hard. The Teretz is it's the Shechino. The Shechino is what brings out the Ur. And the Shechino brings out the Ur most in Eretz Yisrael. And that's why in Bavel, on some level, it was still the Machshakim Hoshivani Kimei. It was Nafkin Eretz Yisrael that it was on. That's what Reuven Margolis says in the Margolis. I'm on this Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin. Daf Chavdal Ramin Alf. Just to be Messiah Ben Yonah Diyoyma Asar B'Tevis, and that is it's Yodua that the Vilna Gaon said that when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, we lost the Avmud of Avoida. Right? The Mishnah says in Ovis that the world stands on three pillars: Torah, Avoida, and Gemilos Chasadim. And when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, we lost Avoida. V'Hashev Eso Avoida L'Dvir Beis Echa V'Davin. We lost Avoida. But the Vilna Gaon said that we didn't only lose Avoida. We lost another one of the pillars as well. We also lost the pillar of Torah. Because the Pasuk says in Eicha, Malka V'Sareh Bagoyim Ein Torah. That when Klal Yisrael went to Golus, Malka V'Sareh Bagoyim Ein Torah, the level of Torah dropped tremendously. And the Vilna Gaon said, and it's in his Pirish on Pirkei Avos, that's what we mean when we daven, She'yubana Beis HaMikdash B'mheira B'yameinu V'sein Chalkeinu B'Sayra Secha. What does Binyan Beis HaMikdash have to do with the Torah? Because She'yubana Beis HaMikdash, so then it's not going to be anymore Malka V'Sareh B'Goyim Ein Torah. When the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, at that point it's going to be V'sein Chalkeinu B'Sayra Secha. We're going to get back the Amud of the Avoida. We're going to get back the Amud of the Torah. V'hein Hein Advarim. In Bavel, it was b'machshakim hoshivani k'meisei oylam. Because in Bavel, you're learning Torah Shabbat Peh, which is hard, it's challenging, it's choshech, and really the art comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's meir einayim. And Eretz Yisrael with the Shechina, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meir. But when we're in Golis, when it's Malka v'sareh b'agoyim ein Torah, so then fakir, it's ein Torah. Because then we're living in a world of b'machshakim hoshivani k'meisei oylam. You know, it's Yodua that the Avudram said that even though it's impossible to fast a Tainus Tzibur on Shabbos, right? There's no such thing as a Tainus Tzibur on Shabbos. But the Avudram said there's one exception to the rule. What's the exception to the rule? Asar B'Tavis. He said, Asar B'Tavis, it's possible to fast
even on Shabbos. A famous Reb Chaim Briska who said pshat in this Avudrom, Vadvarim Atikin, the Enkam Mekoyme Laharach. Now the truth is, we never fast Asar B'Tavis on Shabbos. It never happens. What does happen is Asar B'Tavis can fall out on an Erev Shabbos, which means that we're mashlim the Tainus on Shabbos, which in and of itself is also a Chiddush, and the only place you find this idea of completing a fast on Shabbos is Asar B'Tavis. But Asar B'Tavis is the one Tainus that you find that it's even on Shabbos. So I saw in the Droshes Beis Yishai from Rav Shlomo Fischer Shlita, from Itri, Rav Yisroel Yankov's brother. So he said, what's the oymek? Why would Asar B'Tavis? Sounds like it's like the most chomer fast, right? From all the fasts, the most chomer fast is Asar B'Tavis. Why would it be the most chomer fast? And truth is, what was Asar B'Tavis? What happened on Asar B'Tavis? Samach Melech Bavel. Melech Bavel came and he laid siege on Yerushalayim. Doesn't sound like the most chomer thing in the chain of events. Churban Beis Hamikdash would be more chomer. Another thing he asks is, how come there was no Asar B'Tavis by Bayis Sheni? Bayis Rishon, there's a big deal. Some, we don't know when it happened by Bayis Sheni, and we certainly don't commemorate it. So why is it that it's only by Bayis Rishon, Samach Melech Bavel, that's like the biggest deal? Like, why is it that way? Why is it Dafka Asar B'Tavis? Why is that so chomer? Why only by Bayis Rishon? So Rav Shlomo Fischer said a beautiful machshava. He said that the Yidden left Mitzrayim. They were in the Midbar for 40 years, and then they went to Eretz Yisrael. 440 years of relative calm. That wasn't perfect. But they were in Eretz Yisrael, and the Yidden had a land. And then Shlomo HaMelech built a Beis HaMikdash, and for 400 or so years, again, the Yidden had a Beis HaMikdash, and they had Eretz Yisrael. They weren't in Golos. When did all the Tzaras start? When it was Samach Melech Bavel. That was the beginning of the end. Samach Melech Bavel led to Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzradan, Churban Bayis Rishon. He then went to Bavel. They got back to Beis HaMikdash, but Bayis Sheni wasn't the same. They were under the governance of the Persians and the Medes, and you had the Purim story, and you had the Hanukkah story, and then you had all the Tzaras with the Yevanim, and then you had all the Tzedukim that were causing problems, and the family of Hurdis, and then the Romans who destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, and then, of course, the 2,000 years of Golos that we're in right now. So what was that Scholar de Paranusa? What was the turning point in Jewish history? In an interesting way, it was Asar B'Tavis. Asar B'Tavis was the moment when the Yidden flipped from being in a massive of relative geula, where we have a land and we have a Beis HaMikdash and we can do what we want, to suddenly this is the beginning of all the gullies that the Yidden were going to have to go through and all the tsaris that we were going to have to endure. It all began with Samach Melech Bavel. And that's why Samach Melech Bavel is such a big deal. The reason Asar B'Tavis is such a big deal, it's not the worst thing that happened. It's not. Worst things happen. If you want to look at it in a vacuum, you're right. Churban Beis HaMikdash was a lot worse. Churban Beit HaHalacha. There were a lot bigger tsaris maybe than Samach Melech Bavel. But it was the first. It was a turning point. It was really where everything flipped, where everything changed. And it's for that reason that Avudrom says that when it comes to Asar B'Tavis, we fast Asar B'Tavis. Even on Shabbos, we fast Asar B'Tavis. Because Asar B'Tavis is so, it's so critical. And it's so important because when you look back at our history, that was the day where everything changed. And it's not going to be the same. Actually, Yibane Beis HaMikdash. But either way, it says that's why there's no Asar B'Tavis in Bayis Rishon. Bayis Rishon, you don't need it. It's only Negeya Bayis Rishon. Regardless, Mishatachi Bizoicha, Sheyibane Beis HaMikdash, Bimheiru Be a man of a saint, Chalkeinu Besarasecha.